Are you ready to talk Padres off-season baseball?
We've got you covered.
It's the end of January, and there's nothing better to do in the end of January than to talk Padres baseball with Jesse Agler.
I mean, let's just embrace this, enjoy it, appreciate it. Just magical. Really, it's the only word to use.
Well, there is one thing better, adding Mike Grace to the mix and just hoping he doesn't mess things up.
So there
Are you taking responsibility for this?
No, I'm just going to tell you how it's messed up.
It's not your fault.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour.
The off-season edition.
Presented by United Airlines with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Gracie, I think there is something to be said for taking responsibility for your actions.
I agree.
I mean, we just heard that.
Yes.
Blooper was on vacation, right? So Blooper wasn't here in the last show. You know where he went, by the way?
I don't believe it.
I saw pictures.
Okay.
Now, I guess you could Photoshop, you know, that kind of thing. Blooper was on. I think he missed the last, like, six shows we've done. He was in Thailand, apparently.
That's why they were good.
Yeah. Is that accurate? Blooper, you were in Thailand?
I was in Thailand, but I actually have not missed a single show.
Oh.
But I was in Thailand.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You have a nice trip?
It was amazing.
Have you had anything you need to take responsibility for lately, action-wise?
No, everything's gone perfect.
Everything's been perfect. Oh, okay.
Great.
All right, good.
Since I got back.
Oh, my.
I look forward to our interviews later on this show. We're going to talk about Alexi Ramirez. We're also going to talk to Sam Gainey, the Padres Director of Player Development. We're not really going to talk to them. We're going to hear from them.
Sure.
Why? I don't know. Blooper, it's a little bit of a weird distinction to make there, right?
We're
not going to talk to Sam Gainey. We're going to hear from Sam Gainey.
Did he have a press conference?
It was just hard for him to get down here, so we were able to get him to call in and talk the other day.
No,
so.
Now you're lying.
Yeah, lying hard.
We have a blame Blooper. We have a blame Blooper. Blooper.
Number sign.
It's okay, though. It's okay.
Number sign, blame Blooper.
Tic-tac-toe, blame Blooper. Anyway, we got a decent amount to talk about. It's been a while since we've done one of these shows. Blooper, he had a couple issues. It's okay.
Back in the swing of things.
We're going to make it work. We'll see. We'll find out over the course of the next hour.
Good to talk to those guys. Some good contact. We didn't want people to miss out on that content.
So you'll hear from Sam Gainey and Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox. Alexi Ramirez, that's like, you know, Fernando Rodney, those things have happened since we last did one of these shows. Let me throw something out there, and then you can react to it, Mike. I think, you know, it's a cool approach that A.J. Preller is taking. I think we all get a sense that, you know, this is not going to look like last year.
Right.
You know, where you're just acquiring guys that are like multi-time all-stars and saying, let's go for it. It was a little bit of a more measured approach, and you're acquiring, you know, some really high-level prospects. But at the same time, at the major league level, like, he could have gone into this thing and said, all right, I'm going to have, you know, Quackenbush and Vincent and Edwards, whoever, you know, compete for the closer's job. I mean, they still will, I think, in spring training.
Right.
But he also goes, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get a guy that's done it. He could have said, in Fernando Rodney, could have said, all right, we'll do the Amaristo or whatever. It's shortstop. Maybe see if one of the young guys. No. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get like a solid veteran, you know, who's done it to go out and do that and to stabilize, you know, something on the left side of the infield. I think that says something about the way he's approaching it.
Absolutely. And he's really kept a majority of this team intact, minus Justin Upton. But, you know, the reason this team didn't live up to promise last year was the three main starting pitchers. Those guys are back. And if they lived up to some of their career norms and maybe the next step that they could take, the team could be decent. It could be pretty good. So to have a real shortstop, to have a guy with closer experience, and maybe to teach some of those other guys that you mentioned in the bullpen what it's like to finish a game, not that they haven't worked with some great guys in the past,
sure,
but to continue that, another perspective, you know, and he didn't mortgage the future at all. You know, you bring in Alexi Ramirez on a short-term deal. It's not going to block Javi Guerra, who's probably your future at shortstop. Ian Desmond was in the mix, but that's going to cost you a draft pick. That's probably too valuable at this point to give up, where you're not going to lose much production from Alexi Ramirez to Ian Desmond, so their recent track record would say.
On top of everything else, like you just said, it's a stockpile right now.
Absolutely.
At the front of this 2016 draft. And look, baseball is not like football when it comes to the draft or basketball. You know, there's not that immediate satisfaction. There's not that immediate payoff 999 times out of 1,000. I know Dave Winfield's out there. But, like, you know, there are really, really rare exceptions, right? He's got so many picks, A.J. Preller.
Yep.
In the top 80, whatever.
6 and 85.
6 and 85 of this year's draft. That's wild. And not to say that those guys are going to be all-stars. That's not the way it's going to happen. But we'll hear from Sam Gainey in a little bit. His job is to take the guys who are drafted and develop them into major leaguers, you know, the best that they can be. And it comes down to statistics at some point, right? I ain't no professor of calculus, But if you got 6 out of 85, you probably have higher odds of hitting on major leaguers than if you had 2 out of 85 or 3 out of 80. Like, that's just a numbers game.
I mean,
at that point.
three in the top 30 to me is the key there. I mean, that's where you're going to get your future all-stars most likely. Two things here. AJ Preller has a track record with the Rangers of drafting and developing young talent, and then, you know, really interested in Sam Gainey and what he had to say, because to me, this is the most important guy in the baseball operations department. This organization has really struggled to develop young talent. I think there's been talent through the years, you know, whether you're talking about a Sean Burroughs or an ex-Nady, some of these guys that really could have blossomed into something, and the development wasn't there. So AJ Preller put in a system that worked in Texas. He brought guys in that he believes in, and Sam Gainey, that's his job, is to take this talent and make them major leaguers, because for 22 or 23 of the teams in Major League Baseball, the key to success is getting 3, 4, or 5 homegrown guys hitting their stride at the same time, locking them up through their 26, 27, 28 years of age, and that's your window. I mean, look at the Royals, Moustakas, Hosmer, Escobar, Gordon. Those guys hit at the same time. You've got a really good team. That's what you have to do, unless you're the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs, and you can spend a ton of money.
And by the way, when the Yankees were winning all of their World Series, they had a homegrown core.
Core four.
The Cubs are doing it now with a homegrown core.
Right.
So that is still important, even if you're able to go out and bring in some of those big-ticket free agent-type guys. It's drafting and it's developing. We all talk about draft. Develop is maybe even more important. You could make that argument, and I think it gets under-discussed sometime. All right, so that's sort of the minor league side. Yep. Obviously, everybody wants to know about the big league team as we get ready for spring training. And by the way, it's like 2.5 weeks from now. The pitchers and catchers will be reporting in Peoria, Arizona. Mike, as you know, we're big on the social media on this show.
Love it.
We love the tweets. This morning.
It's in the title.
It is. Padres Social Hour. So we put out the hashtag earlier today, PadresSH, asked for some questions. We got a bunch of really good stuff today that came in, so we'll kind of trickle these throughout the next hour or so. I want to get to a couple here right off the bat, man.
Let's do it.
We're going to start with one of my favorite guys. He's out in East County. He's generally unhappy, but he's a hell of a guy, and he's a sweet gentleman. Cranky Ed.
He's not one of my favorites. He is my favorite.
He is your absolute number one favorite?
Yeah, no, he's a Star Wars guy.
I thought it was Ghost of Ray Kroc who was your favorite.
He's a good dude, but Ed has really put it over, because I imagine Ed's not in our age demographic, but he loves Star Wars. So I'm all in on Ed.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
The question is.
Cranky Ed says, hey, I got a feeling AJ is positioning for something. Any ideas? Acquisition or offload? He wants to get inside AJ Preller's head, which I
want no part of being inside of AJ Preller's head, because I think ours would explode. I think the one thing we've learned about AJ is he is not going to be pressured into anything. He's going to make the deal that's the right deal. If it's bringing in young talent, he's going to do that. If it's bringing in veteran talent and salary, he's going to do that. So I think he's always looking for value. Whatever the value is, whether it's the guys on his roster, what value they have, or bringing in young talent that's going to be future value, I think he's always looking for value. Now, I always expect things from him. I think he's always going to be active. You just never
know which way he's going to be active. He traded for Craig Kimbrell like 18 hours before the season started.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. And I'm not suggesting he's going to go out and get an all-star closer on April 2nd this year or anything
sure,
like that.
No.
But keep that in mind. Like, expect the unexpected. Don't try and predict anything and see where it goes.
Exactly.
You never know.
Don't ever try to predict AJ Preller.
Exactly. All right, Dancing Friar checks in from the right field mission.
All right.
Love this dude, man. he's got a hashtag payroll question. We were backloaded after the first year of Preller's trades, dumped some big contracts. Where do we stand? I turn to Jeff Sanders of the San Diego Union-Tribune. He's been doing a good job all offseason. He's got the Excel spreadsheet going with it's hard to get to specific payroll. He's been crunching the numbers, so I'm using Jeff's numbers here.
Kay.
He's got it after the Fernando Rodney signing at about $101 million right now,
right,
projected. Last year, I think it was about $102.
Okay.
So you're right in that same neighborhood. Now it's going to change. This is going to happen. That's going to happen between now and opening day. I've said before, I think we probably talk a little bit too much about payroll.
Sure.
I would rather spend the money well. If it's 90, that's great. And if it's 120, that's great. You know, I think when you get into extremes, that's when it becomes more topical. You know, if you're trying to pull the $60 million thing again, or if you're up at 200
right.
or 300 like the Dodgers were, then I think it becomes much more of a conversation piece. But right now, it's right around where it was last year. And so I think it's like, okay, you know, it is what it might end up being a little bit less, might end up being a little bit more. We'll see what happens
right.
Between now and opening day. But that's where we're at on that. One more. Jeff M. This is a very good question.
Okay.
I don't have the answer to it. Maybe you do.
Doubtful.
You've been around longer than I have. Why haven't the Friars done a Mudcat bobble giveaway? How about we champion the idea? Hashtag bobble for Mark Grant.
I don't know for a fact, but you know, being in these discussions a little bit, you're looking for a certain price point on a giveaway.
Okay.
And if you're going to do something to scale, it's going to take a lot of material to make the actual head portion of a Mark Grant bobblehead. So I think they're still working through the logistics of making it, finding an affordable product that could be, unless it's like a mini, that's the only way to get the head to scale and use the appropriate amount of product.
I don't think it's a financial thing. I think it's physics.
There's just not enough plastic in the world to make 40,000
The head would bobble too much, I think. It would just fall down.
It just falls over.
Yeah, it would be bent over, and that's nobody wants that. Nobody wants it. But yeah, no, I would love a Mark Grant.
No, it's a good idea. It would be fun.
What wouldn't you want that involves Mark Grant? You know, Mark Grant T-shirt night.
You know, we should do all season long.
Could
we
be
should
Mark
do the
Grant
Mark Grant slippery when wet sign.
Piso Mojado.
Piso Mojado.
Cuidado.
Signs.
Cuidado. Piso Mojado. There's nothing the man loves more than that.
He loves to warn people of slippery surfaces.
It's important.
It really is a concern.
It really is.
It really is.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will not be discussing wet floors, but rather infields, specifically shortstop, Alexi Ramirez. We're going to learn a little bit more about the Padres' new shortstop. Meanwhile, this weekend, coming up on Sunday, Padres are hosting a free coaches development training for youth baseball and softball coaches. Clinic focuses on how to teach and develop young athletes. A really cool free program if you coach baseball or softball in the area. Check out the information and register at padres.com/clinics. Padres.com/clinics. We will step aside, come back, hear a little bit more about Alexi Ramirez. Also, more Twitter questions. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back to Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Keeping you up to date on all the hot stove news presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back. Mike Grace, Jesse Agler, Social Hour. The end of January is here, man.
It's like so close. You can smell spring training.
Got a lot of riffraff here today. You notice that?
Absolutely.
People just hanging out here at the AMR studio. All right, we'll get to some more Twitters in a little bit, but I want to talk about Alexi Ramirez. I like this a lot. And it's easy to sit here and be like, oh, veteran. But I just – there's something about the approach. Like I said earlier, they could have just gone with the young guys. They could have just gone with Amarista.
They could have asked Spangenberg to try to play shortstop or something like that.
I like this. Yeah. Bringing in a guy who has done it, who's been an all-star, who made sense finance, all of it. Like I like the approach. So, look, we know Alexi Ramirez, 7-8 years in Chicago, you know, been in the postseason.
Yep.
We've watched him. We kind of know about him. We don't know too much about him. AL Central, you don't really see him all that often. So we got Scott Merkin on the telephone. He's like the Corey Brock of the White Sox.
Right.
Okay, he covers the White Sox for MLB.com. Scott's on Twitter, at Scott Merkin. And we asked him about Alexi Ramirez. And the first thing I asked him was, how much gas does this guy have in the tank? You know, he's in his late 30s at this point. Here's what Scott said.
I think he's got plenty left. You know, he had a rough start to last year and looked more like the Alexi Ramirez that we'd come to know over the last 8 years in the second half of the season. He's a very durable guy. He's one of those guys that doesn't like to sit. You know, if he could, he'd play every inning of all 162 games. And I think the second half you saw a little bit of a turnaround from him. And I have a feeling San Diego is going to see, and the National League is going to see more of that kind of Alexi Ramirez as opposed to the struggling part there. And he did struggle in the first half of last year.
All right, we'll get to the second half surge for Alexi Ramirez in a moment. First, though, the durability that Scott mentioned right there. This is a dude that has never played in fewer than 148 games in a major league season. Think about that. And he doesn't want to sit, is what he said. Healthy, durable, everyday kind of player. If you're Andy Green, that's a nice thing to have. A guy at that position to just be able to, like, all right, he's in.
That position especially, shortstop. You want a guy that's so steady because it affects your double play turn. It affects your first baseman. You want that steadiness. And he's got a great body for shortstop. He'll steal a few bases. That's right. he's got some power for a slim guy. He's got some speed. Yeah. He's played some outfield, so you know he can run. And he keeps himself in shape. And, you know, you talked about that second half surge. You know, he's basically been very solid, very consistent throughout his career. He had a bad first half, and then those numbers hit what his career norms were for the second half. Now his overall season isn't going to look great, but he did it for, you know, 3 months of the season. So right. You can feel relatively confident that this guy's still where he's been at through his major league career.
So, again, never played fewer than 148 games in a season. What was the number Corey Brock threw out there recently? 18 shortstops used by the Padres since 2009?
Yeah, it sounds like a Sporkle game we should be playing.
18 guys used at that position since 2009 by this ball club. And now you're bringing in a guy who can just kind of lock it down.
Sure.
And it's whether it's 1 year or 2 years, we'll wait and see. It's an option situation. How quickly does Javi Guerra get ready? Or one of the other big-time, you know, shortstop prospects that they have in the system now? Really three guys, I think, in
which
the top 10 for the Padres.
Great place to be. Yeah.
Who are shortstops. Again, it makes a lot of sense to me. All right, so bad first half last year for Alexi Ramirez, really came on in the second half. Asked Scott Merkin if anything changed after the All-Star break.
You know, one thing he talked about, and Robin Ventura talked about, is they had some sort of sit-down, I think just before the All-Star break when they were in Detroit or whatever it was somewhere, you know, during the first half. And I think Robin just kind of said, relax and just go out and play. And that kind of resonated with him, and it's helped him turn around. And, you know, he's got immense ability. You know, he makes some plays that kind of make you go wow even after you cover the game for a while, and then you make some other plays that you say wow in another direction too at times. But you know, he's a great defensive player, probably should have a gold glove, you know, to his resume. And also, you know, one of the more consistent hitters when he's on, you know, power guy, good gap guy, and really has picked up his stolen bases over the last couple of years too. So I think it was just one of those things where he's been a slow starter his whole career and just extended out a little more. But, you know, got it turned around and had a great, productive second half of the team.
Not the only guy like that we'll be talking about throughout the spring and throughout April and maybe May this year for the Padres. Matt Kemp, same kind of thing. Last couple of years really came on in the second half. The fast start is always so nice. And yes, the game on April 5th counts the same as the game on September 5th in the standings. But you'd much rather have a good April and kind of try and build on that, you know, and gain some momentum moving forward and maybe pad, you know, some wins under your belt. But coachable, open to talking, you know, being 37 or whatever last year and sitting down with Robin Ventura, the manager of the White Sox, before the All-Star break, and then being like, all right, what's going on here? And addressing that, and even after the number of games played in the big leagues, and even at this stage of his career, you know, still willing to sit down, have those conversations, and continue to work to try and get better.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited to see him in the National League. Been an American League player. He's stolen as many as 30 bases. Andy Green's talked a lot about being aggressive, opportunistic, and I think this is the guy that can really take advantage of that, steal a few extra bases here, use some of his athleticism, some of that power in the gaps to be a really good base runner, and just make things happen. If you can have any kind of offense at shortstop, I always think that's a plus. You know, that's one of those positions, that and catcher, you really want that defensive, steady, consistent guy, and any real offense on top of that is a plus. If this guy can be a 3-WAR player, 4-WAR player, that'd be excellent.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, that would be outstanding for the San Diego Padres this year. I like his swing too, just like a nice looking swing. I like the long stroke, like it's fun to watch. That's apropos of absolutely nothing. It was kind of a side comment.
But I like when you scout though.
Yeah, no, you don't want me getting into scouting talk. We got Don Welke up there. He can come down. He can talk about hips and swivel. And that's
don't
not
sell
me.
Yourself short.
Nah, that ain't me, man. I'm not talking about nice bodies like you. last thing I asked Scott Merkin of MLB.com. I said, you know, I'm looking at the numbers and I'm reading up on Alexi Ramirez, and I feel like a word to describe him, a good word to describe him, would be solid. And I asked Scott if that was kind of a fair, you know, breakdown of where Ramirez's game is right now.
I think solid across the board. I guess it depends what you consider, like, excellent for that position.
Sure.
Versus, you know, very good, solid type of thing. I mean, you know, earlier on in his career, when he first, you know, the people don't know, I mean, he's such a good athlete. His first game ever played for the White Sox was in starting center fielder at Progressive Field. And then he played second base that entire year after the little dalliance with the outfield for a team that won the division. Matter of fact, he hit a grand slam against Detroit in a makeup game after the season had ended that allowed them to play in that famous blackout game 163, and they beat the Twins 1-0 to win the division. So very versatile, athletic guy. And I think while his power, you know, he may not be the 20 home run guy anymore, he's now up around consistently about the 25-30 stolen base guy. So he gives you a lot of diversity because he still can go deep. He still hits extra bases, good doubles guy. But, yeah, I think he does, when he's on his game, he does everything very well. I'm not sure if you'd consider him exceptional in one way or the other. Probably defense is his best asset at shortstop. But when he's not in his game, solid is a good word for him. Very, very consistent across the board.
All right, there you go. That's the sort of scouting report from Scott Merkin of MLB.com on Alexi Ramirez. Appreciate Scott's time. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Merkin. Solid? Sure. You know, and maybe then some is kind of what he's saying right there. Watching those highlights, by the way. Those beach blanket uniforms are so nice.
Yeah.
Those, like, 70s white.
They're,
you know,
fun, yeah. And they kind of incorporate that into their spring training uniform, I saw. So
yeah, a little bit.
A little sharp.
Some changes with that. Good trivia question that first year. And when he wasn't a shortstop, when he was a second baseman, you might say, oh, White Sox made the playoffs. Who was their shortstop that year? Orlando Cabrera.
Oh.
Good little trivia question. Another interesting thing about Alexi Ramirez is the way he spells his first name.
It's a little different, right?
It is a little bit different. Blooper. We're going to go ahead here. We're going to put you on the spot.
Oh, God.
Are you ready for this?
Maybe.
All right.
I'm an awful speller.
Do you know how spelling bees work?
I've watched it on ESPN a handful of times.
Sure. I'd prefer you to watch it on Fox Sports.
But, exactly.
Nice job.
So good at things.
you say the word, and then you spell it, and then you say the word again. That's, like, the proper thing. So I'm going to give you Alexi, as in Alexi Ramirez. I know it's a name, and you don't normally get names in the spelling bee.
Okay.
I want to see where you're at. Go ahead.
A.
No, you got to say the word.
Oh, Alexi?
Yeah.
A-L-E-X-I-E.
Incorrect.
Ding.
You didn't say it at
the end. And you still didn't say it at the end.
Alexi.
Yeah, there you go. A-L-E-X-E-I.
E-I.
E-I at the end. Not like Amarista where it's
I
just
before
I.
E.
Just I.
Except after Alexi. Nice job. All right. Good on you, Blooper. So that's the Alexi Ramirez scouting report, including how to correctly spell his first name. We'll take a break, come back, talk about player development. We talk draft. Let's talk development. Sam Gainey, the director of player development. Who else to talk to other than him? Sam will join us when we come back. We'll hear what he had to say. Spring training, as you know, Mike, Blooper, everybody else, just around the corner. Tickets available now for all 2016 games in Peoria, Arizona. So get your tickets, Padres.com/spring. Padres.com/spring, one of the most fun times of the year. We'll take a break, come back, talk about player development, and get us more of your Twitter questions right after this.
Getting you ready for the Padres 2016 season. This is Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition,
presented by United Airlines.
All right, back on Padres Social Hour with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Angler. Thanks to Scott Merkin, MLB.com. Talk about Alexi Ramirez and the Chicago White Sox. We got more fun coming up. We got some more Twitter questions coming up. And I'm going to hit you with a couple of the hot buttons in a little bit as well. DH in the National League. Everybody's losing their minds over that.
Yeah.
Games maybe in London in 2017. Rob Manfred has a little knack for opening his mouth and getting people to talk about what he says. I like it. That's the way
you
to do it.
You think it's calculated?
I absolutely do, and that's what I want to talk about. Everybody loses their minds, and then they talk about the thing for 48 straight hours, and he gets to sit back and listen to what everybody has to think about his ideas.
In January at that. You know, talking a little baseball in January.
Not a dummy, my man.
It's nice to see. It's nice to see a guy that's a little outgoing, a little communicative. I mean, it's
open.
A nice little turn there.
Likes to converse, doesn't just hide.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things. All right, we'll get to some tweets in a moment. First, I want to talk about player development. Sam Gainey is the Padre director of player development. He came down to our set yesterday. We recorded a really nice interview with him.
Can you prove it?
I cannot because Blooper. You know, it happens. It happens, man. You go to Thailand, you go on vacation, you come back. Whatever, man. It happens. But he's able to salvage some of Sam's answers. You're not going to see him, but you're going to hear him. So it's all good.
He looked really great.
You'll see a picture of him.
He had a nice sweater on. We all looked good, I got to tell you.
I did look better yesterday.
I did too. I mean, we looked really – that was maybe as good-looking a crew as there's ever been here, you know, except for that day that Bill was on. But, like, anyway, we're going to hear from Sam Gainey. And first I said, all right, Sam, you're the Padre Director of Player Development. Tell the fans what the heck that means.
So I more or less oversee a group of, you know, it's – more or less 50 staff members, and our vision and our every morning we wake up and we try and figure out the best way to impact the roughly 200 minor league players we have in our system. It's spread among 7 different levels. Our lowest club is obviously in the Dominican Republic. That's a club made up of 16 to 18 year old kids. Then we have 6 affiliates, 2 short season that more or less are made up of, you know, players. Once the draft occurs in June, they'll play about a 70 game season. And then we have 4 full-season affiliates that people are generally relatively familiar with.
Sure.
Fort Wayne, our low-A club in the Midwest League, Lake Elsinore, just up the road here. San Antonio's our AA affiliate in El Paso. So, you know, our group, it kind of is its own little department here, and it's actually quite burgeoning. I mean, we have...
It's not little, man.
No,
not 50
at all.
People.
it's made up of... We have... I mentioned previously our coordinators, what Eddie and Tarek did for us. We have Mark Pryor, who I know you guys have had a chance to speak with here. He's our pitching coordinator. He also works with a couple other guys, kind of at a... Gorman Heimuel and Eric Young, to kind of set the direction of the pitching and obviously work with pitching coaches at every affiliate. Luis Ortiz, you could kind of refer to as my right-hand guy. He's our field and hitting coordinator, and he kind of sets the offensive directive as well as kind of big picture vision, how the Padres are going to play, what it means to be a San Diego Padre, as well as, you know, a kind of a variety of, you know, one of the benefits we have of being in the city and being here is that we have a tremendous group of people who, you know, ex-pods who want to continue to, you know, be a part of it. Trevor Hoffman is very involved. Mark Loretta, Moises Alou does a lot of work with us on the minor league side. So when you kind of initially asked about this time of the year, it's, as you would imagine, it's kind of a year-round job as far as, you know, working with these kids, planning, you know, touching them as much as we can in the off season, whether it's sending our hitting coaches, sending our managers, sending our coordinators out to check in on, you know, Hunter Renfroe in Mississippi and kind of see where he's at, just to touch these guys as much as we can and hopefully prepare them for the season. Then once the season starts, we all kind of spread out and kind of get
watch
to work,
baseball.
Watch baseball, and kind of hopefully continue to kind of push forward with all these guys.
All right, that's the ghost of Sam Gainey speaking to us. Really cool conversation and understanding of what he goes. We'll play a little bit more for you, but if you want the full Sam Gainey interview, you go to Padres.com/podcasts. Same for Scott Merkin, who was breaking down Alexi Ramirez a few minutes ago. Other thing I want to have Sam talk a little bit about is this mini camp you may have heard about, you know, that took place. I think it had 16 players, 8 position players, 8 pitchers, and they participated in this mini camp. There was stuff here, you know, in the weight room, the batting cages. There was stuff at SDSU. And I asked Sam, like, you know, how unusual that is and how kind of unique that is for a club to fly these guys in to work out, you know, a few weeks before they report for spring training.
You know, I think it's a little unique because of where we're at right now. Obviously, entering Andy's first season as the manager at the major league level, I do think it's something that, you know, clubs do every now and then. But for us, you know, speaking kind of from Andy's perspective, I know he... as I mentioned, the staff was fairly new on his end. You know, obviously he's new as well as several of the other coaches on the staff. So I think initially he wanted to, you know, more than anything, because spring training can be such kind of a big animal with, you know, a lot of new bodies. I know he wanted, while things are a little calmer, to have a few days where he could, you know, kind of get those introductions out of the way, spend some time with some of the new players that we've acquired this offseason via trades, via the Rule 5 draft. So I think that was, you know, in speaking with Andy, I think that was the primary purpose of this program, was to really, you know, spend a little more quality time with these young men. Secondary is also to have them, you know, participate in a little baseball activity and kind of see where they're at physically. But I know that the first priority was obviously to kind of begin to establish those relationships.
This is a really cool thing, Gracie, because Andy Green is saying, hey, I don't want the first time these guys are exposed to me or this coaching staff to be at spring training when there's like 800 people around.
Right.
And it's chaos at times.
And it really is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys. That clubhouse is gigantic. At the beginning, it is packed. Not to say you can't have good communication there, and I'm sure there will be meetings and, you know, stuff that's important. But he's saying, I want some of these guys to come in, get to know us. I don't want them to shake Mark McGwire's hand in Peoria and be like, nice to meet you. I want these guys to come in and say, oh, yeah, hey, we've already worked together.
No, I think it's so important. Cool. And so many things I've heard about what Andy's doing is really, really cool. That he's going, he flew to see Will Myers. He went up to see Matt Kemp. He wants to go out and talk to all of his big league team and just really get to know them on a personal level, know what's important to them. I think he's making some really important connections. And not to say that anybody that was here in the past didn't do these things, but just where he's starting, I think it's really promising for the structure of this team.
I love it.
It's good stuff.
It was cool. There was an event last night with some season ticket members and Andy, and I was lucky enough to kind of moderate the Q&A. And he was talking about, like, just crisscrossing the country. Like you said, you know, he's in Wichita with Norris. He's in Houston with Kashner. He's in North Carolina with Myers. He wanted to go to them. He didn't want to say, hey, I'll see you when you get to Arizona. He didn't say, hey, come out and meet me in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm going to your turf. I want to take you out to dinner, lunch, whatever. I want to get to know you. And I want to hear what you think, you know, what didn't go right last year. What you think needs to happen this year. Give them ownership over that. I thought that was really, really cool to hear all about that. Sam gets into the physical versus mental development. I think it's really interesting stuff. Padres.com/podcasts for the full information or the full interview. Padres.com/podcasts. Let's hop into some tweets. Our buddy Derek Togerson, NBC here locally. Derek says, what are the odds Melvin Upton shocks us all and has an all-star caliber season? I ain't about to start predicting all-stars for anybody. But talk about second half. Talking about that with Ramirez, talking about that with Kemp. He certainly falls into that category of a guy that as the season went on last year, and I know he only played in 68 games and he had the foot injury until June. As the year went on, he got better and better and better. And he was solid by the end of the season last year.
No, I mean, if you're an advanced metrics guy and you just want to look at straight war, I mean, the guy played, you know, in 80-something games, what, 60-something starts like you mentioned, and he was like a 1.5 war player. I mean, if you multiply that over a season, if he's a 3-war player, what he does defensively, what he can do with power, with running, he could be a really, really good team. Now, all-star, I mean, that's very subjective, and who knows? I mean, that might be a stretch, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think there's a track record of the Upton brothers playing together that says it hasn't been great for either of them. And, you know, I'm interested in it. Maybe that's all coincidental. Who knows? But, you know, look, the guy did start putting together a lot better at bats. He's an excellent center fielder. He can play the outfield. He's growing in confidence. And I think that's the biggest thing. You talk to Sam about the mental stuff, and like you said, people can listen to that in the podcast. But so much of this game is mentality. And if he's getting that confidence back with his natural ability, it could be really exciting.
Interesting to watch. Definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I don't know if they're going to end up platooning him, you know, out in center field, do a lefty-righty thing, you know, put him in more of a position to be comfortable, successful, or if he just goes out and wins the job. That's definitely one of the key things to watch this spring. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got some more tweets. And we'll get to those. Also, single game tickets will go on sale February 11th for the regular season. That is the day to put into your calendar. Put the reminder. Tell Siri to wake you up early. February 11th, you can be the first to get tickets to the season's most anticipated games, including matchups against the Dodgers, the Giants, the Red Sox, the Yankees. Padres.com, February 11th. That is the magic day for single game tickets. We'll take a break. Come back. More tweets right after this.
This is your fix of Padres off-season talk. It's Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition,
presented by United Airlines.
All right, we're going to rock and roll with some tweets. Mike Grace, Jesse Agler, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park. There's a guy on Twitter, John. His last name starts with a G, I forget, but something like that. But anyway, each time we've done a show this off-season, he has sent in questions after the fact. And, I feel a little bad. Like, sorry, man, we taped the off-season
shows. Oh, he's always
shows.
A little late.
Right. So, like, 3 weeks ago, he goes, when's the next show? I said, 1:29. Like, send it in the morning, early. And he did. He sent it early in the morning. He's got a little bit of an edge. And that's okay. I don't mind that. I'm all about that. But here we go. Here, it's a two-part question. And we'll read the whole thing, and then we'll kind of take it piece by piece from John. The first part of his question is, where is Matt Kemp? That's the first question he has. And then he
like
also...
Like Carmen Sandiego? Like where in the world?
Well, he left it a little bit open to interpretation, okay. So I think we can have some fun with that. And then the second part of his question, is Wayne Partello, who's the Padres' chief marketing officer, frustrated by all the incorrect hats floating through the system? I like that there's a system. It's very official sounding. Let's take the first part first. Where is Matt Kemp? I assume at home, at the gym, probably took a vacation. At some point.
Yeah.
He's obviously saying Matt Kemp hasn't been visible this offseason. That's pretty common in baseball.
Yeah.
At this point, man. I'm not quite sure what you're looking at. There was one really big event that took place this year involving players. It was the uniform unveil. And it was Shields and Myers, right?
Right.
Those were kind of the guys that did it, a pitcher and a position player. So, he tweeted me then, and why wasn't Matt Kemp involved? I said, I don't know Matt Kemp's schedule, but I certainly wouldn't read into it.
Yeah.
The reality is, for all you know, Matt Kemp's buddy was getting married that day, like, or that week, like, or he was on vacation, or he wasn't available. Who knows? Like, I mean, it's not a thing to get here. It's January 29th. Where is Matt Kemp? Be worried about where Matt Kemp is on like February 23rd or whatever,
yeah,
when position players report and start working out. I don't know that there's anything to be concerned about here.
I really don't either.
I'm not quite sure what he's looking for. And if this were a live show, like during the regular season, we could continue the conversation. We could figure out what exactly he wants for Matt Kemp. Maybe we can get Matt Kemp to go to his house. You know, knock on the door and just say, hey, what's up, man?
If he has, slushies and Chick-fil-A, he could probably get Matt Kemp over.
Matt Kemp was very into the slushies.
And a welcome sign, right, Blue?
From Sonic. Yeah, that's how we got Matt Kemp on the show. We had some fun with that last year. But, you know,
The guy's working hard. I mean, I guarantee you that. He's getting ready for baseball season.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting year because something about
– I don't worry about Matt Kemp in November, December, January.
No.
I'm not interested in him in that sense. Like, I hope he is working out. I'm sure he is. Like, I'm not buying the concern.
But I read this is going to be a year for him to really get past the injury he had with the Dodgers.
Okay.
That his ankle and his mobility, this is the year where he can truly get to 100% health as far as that's concerned. So
right.
I think we, you know, I guarantee you he's working hard on those things.
All right. Second part of his question was, is Wayne Partello frustrated by all the incorrect hats floating through the system? There have been some hats at retailers that have not totally been accurate for the new Padre hats. There was a Squatcho issue.
Squatchy gate, right?
Little button on top of the hat. It was like wrong color. There was a thing with the patches. They caught me up on that. I'm not going to speak for Wayne, but Wayne tweeted about this, I guess, a couple weeks ago. Here's what Wayne said.
Oh, nice.
He goes, it should have a yellow button or Squatcho, because some people were kind of concerned about whether it was supposed to be yellow or blue. He says, Padres.com, MLB.com have it correct. Other retailers will receive correct hats soon. So I did a little digging. MLB screwed up. That's the bottom line. They are the distributors. They are the makers. The hats and the jerseys, they are not created here at Petco Park. all that. Those places have them good. You can get the right ones there. It definitely sucks that some bad ones were sent out to certain retailers, but there was a mess up. Mistakes happen.
Yeah, humans were involved.
And that's it. That's kind of the whole deal.
Things get fixed. What can you do?
That's it.
Guarantee you he was frustrated, but he did everything he could to remedy the situation, and hey.
So, you know. Anyway, John, I hope that answers your questions.
You got him on.
Bring us down a little bit more happy mood. East Village Times. Good dudes. I did their podcast.
Nice.
They're like on a Padre podcast spree right now. They got everybody going. But they're good dudes. East Village Times. And he checks in with heart emojis, which is always something, you know, to make you feel good. Just wanted to say, 3 weeks till catchers and pitchers report. How excited are you?
Excited, nervous, a lot of work to do before
nervous.
We get there. Yeah. You know, that's our crunch time. We do a lot of work before
our
a game
being
starts.
Just so people
the
maybe
Padres
don't know.
Productions department.
There you go.
We do a lot of work during that time. The players are available to shoot with us, the things you see on the video board. Mm. That's when that gets shot.
All
on video. We actually shoot the video and the audio, so you get both aspects. And then
hold on. So you put them together?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you, when,
Looper,
when,
did
when,
you catch that?
When mouths move, you see the
words. Could
people.
You
explain
you
that
see
again?
And hear the words.
Yeah.
How does it work?
We'll talk off air so that you
thank
totally
you so
understand. But before the spring training games start, that's when we shoot the guys. We've got a lot of work to do to
that's
get there.
That's a lot of busy time.
But I can't wait. I love being out there.
So much fun.
It's the most serene baseball atmosphere experience you can have. I encourage anybody to go out, even before game starts, just to watch the practices. I mean, just hundreds of baseballs hitting mitts and bats and balls. It's beautiful.
100%. All right. We'll take a break, come back, do a little DH talk, maybe some London Town talk, and possibly another couple of tweets as well. Mike Grace, Jesse Agler, Padres Social Hour, more right after this.
When the summer rolls around, the Padres will be playing right here. For now, you've got us. Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Coming to you from the AMR studio.
All right, like a week and a half ago, the DH was coming to the National League. It was all but signed. And then like a week ago, well, no, not yet. Collective bargaining, not this go-round, blah, blah, blah. The idea has been out there. Everybody, Grace, is taking really like hard lines on this, not in whether the sense of they like it or not, which
right.
I expect, but in the sense of like whether it's going to be discussed in the CBA negotiations, which are about to begin, by the way. CBA
right.
expires after this season. The owners and the players are about to really like fully start CBA negotiations. And everybody seems to think, like, either it's not going to be in there or it is. Like, why can't it just be a bargaining chip? Like, that's, to me, what it sounds like is happening, is that Rob Manfred's floating the idea, sort of dangling it a little bit, you know, for the Players Association, and he's maybe going to let it come up on its own in these negotiations.
Right, and if he goes out and says, oh, I really think there's going to be the DH very soon, then he loses some of his bargaining power, so just like you're talking about. But yeah, everything's going to come up somewhat naturally in that. I mean, the players have their issues that they really want to fight for, and they're going to rank those the same with the owners. And it collective bargaining, I mean, I think at least we're in a place where everybody knows that they've got the structure for most things, and there's not really any threat of work stoppage, which is the number one key, exactly,
sure.
Knock on wood. But, yeah, I mean, I just hope the National League holds firm. I mean, I still don't want to – I understand – that it
if
does
I,
put you at a competitive disadvantage, but I still don't want to see it.
If I traded you, like, a legit pitch clock for the DH?
I think that might be that might be the solution.
Would you do it as a fan?
As a fan, yeah, I think so. Because I think
that
pitch clock would make a huge difference.
I agree.
And people don't think it is, but it does. It's proven that it does in the minor leagues where they've used it. It really would make a difference. And at some point, the players are going to quit thinking about it. It's just going to become second nature, and they're not going to worry about it anymore.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a part of the game. So, yes. And, you know, and I hope they have a little bit of a lead-up to actually instituting the DH. I don't think it's fair to just drop the DH on teams. Like, you have to either develop a DH position and money, and, you know, the Padres actually would be in a pretty good situation where Matt Kemp would naturally kind of move into a part-time DH role if it came relatively quickly. But,
well, it wouldn't come in the middle of the season or anything
no,
like that.
No, 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 but at the start of the 2017 season,
right.
Okay, you've got a guy that could DH. Most National League teams probably aren't going to be in that position. They've got to figure it
Bring
out
Matt
in an
Stairs
offseason.
Back.
Matt Stairs, Jack Cust.
Here you go.
You know,
no.
the next guy to hit 500 in spring training is going to be the Padres DH.
I like it. Let me drop one more on you, the London thing. People are asking, why would they maybe play a couple regular season games in London? Money, I think, is pretty much the answer. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk international baseball, but south of the border, a little Mexico City coming up this spring. Padres Social Hour concludes right after this.
Keeping you up to date on everything Padres all season long. It's Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Coming to you from the AMR studio.
Blooper, you made the ballpark in color, everything else black and white. That was pretty cool. Hey, we're talking about international baseball. Padres president, CEO Mike D is with us. Padres going south of the border this spring. Couple of exhibitions. That's the word. Against the Astros, March 26th. And 27th in Mexico City is a pretty cool opportunity for the ball club.
Yeah, we're excited about doing it. Appreciate the invitation from Major League Baseball to be one of the two teams. We'll be playing the Astros down there. And Mexico City, you know, great baseball market, home of the Mexico City Diablos, the Red Devils, which were the champions of the league 2 years ago. And Alfredo Harp, Padres' partner, owns that franchise and controls the ballpark there. So it'll be a warm welcome for sure for Los Padres de Mexico.
Not the only south of the border initiative. You know, the Tijuana market I know is a big deal as well, and the Padres continuing to sort of reach across, you know, that line down there to try and make themselves a part of that community.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said it that way, because what we'd like to think is that there is no line.
Yeah.
You know, that the marketplace that the Padres call home is not just San Diego County, not just Imperial County, but also Northern Baja, and we have Padre fans, you know, from Mexicali down to Ensenada, but Tijuana in particular, especially with the resurgence of baseball around the Tijuana Toros, who have had great success over the last couple years. So there's a ton of baseball interest, and the Padres are a big part of that.
And with all the benefits of the All-Star game coming to San Diego, south of the border are going to see some of those benefits as well, right?
Yeah, we're working with Major League Baseball to hopefully come up with a number of events around All-Star Week in Tijuana. And, you know, and we have fans coming all the time. You know, we talk about our bus programs and things that we, you know, are able to orchestrate to bring fans. But you know, the reality is that we have fans crossing the border. And, you know, for our viewers out there that don't cross the border on a regular basis, you need only to go down a few times. And by the way, the new food in Tijuana is great. Baja Med cuisine is great. And San Diegans are going down to Tijuana in mass numbers. And I think there's going to be more border and ease of border crossing as the years go on. And baseball can play a role in that.
Really cool. Really cool. So that's some of the upcoming initiatives for Major League Baseball and for the Padres in Mexico. The exhibitions, as they're called, in Mexico City should be a lot of fun this spring as well with the Astros. Thanks for stopping by.
always a pleasure to talk international baseball with men of your stature.
It's a big part of the future. We were talking about the London thing before you came down. That idea kind of got floated out there. You have an opinion?
I do. You know, I'm on baseball's international committee, so I get to hear a lot of these discussions. And, you know, they're one of Commissioner Manfred's, you know, I think mandates and priorities is to grow the game internationally in a smart, strategic way, not just playing games for the sake of playing games. And I think that's been what baseball's done in the past. But I think this time around, you're going to see, you know, more emphasis on Mexico, more emphasis in England, Western Europe, and we'll see where it goes. But baseball does have mass appeal overseas. We have to take advantage of that as a game.
I jokingly said, oh, it's about money. But, I mean, the reality is it's about growing the game. It's about getting more fans. Why not give it a whirl? Thanks to Mike D. Thanks to Grace. Thanks to Scott Merkin. And also thanks to Sam Gainey. Great job, Blooper. We'll be back soon with the final show before spring training.